In this video, we sit down with Ollie Whitehead, a 23-year-old property entrepreneur making £8,000 a month.
So what were you doing before the academy?
Selling beds for dreams.
And you're quite young, aren't you?
23. Well, I sold like 3 deals, which every time something would go wrong. So then I had this one rent to SA. So I thought, oh, I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to take it on myself.
Ollie shares how he scaled from 0 to 8 properties in just over 1 year, his biggest challenges, and how he systemized his business to become more passive.
How many do you have now, your rent to rents?
8. I just got my last one last week. I'm getting to the point now where I can take on one a month for 5K and still be making 3-4 grand a month.
We also dive into long-term service accommodation bookings, working with landlords, and the mindset needed to succeed in property. You're going to enjoy this one, so please be sure to subscribe to the channel and watch out for more Samuel Leeds success stories.
I'm your host, Patricia, and today we are sitting with Ollie Whitehead. Welcome, Ollie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. So it's you joined the academy, what, a few years ago?
Yeah, 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago now.
So what were you doing before the academy?
Selling beds. Throughout the academy as well as, but yeah, selling beds. Mm-hmm. Nothing too special.
For like a retailer or wholesaler?
Yeah, for dreams. Yeah, it's very local to me for the reasons why. And I just wanted more. Always knew I wanted more to sell beds. I've done all sorts like office jobs, sales, all sorts of things. But selling beds was prior to the academy.
So you have some sales experience then?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'd like to think so, yeah.
Great. And you're quite young, aren't you?
23. Yeah,
23. Yeah. Actually, you come across a lot older though. I think it's that kind of life experience is kind of coming through.
Yeah.
You're definitely a lot more mature than some of the other 23-year-olds that I've met. So well done. Where's your patch? Where are you based?
Kent, in Maidstone.
Okay. Have you always been there?
Yeah, always, always, always.
All right, great. Yeah. So what? How did you come across property?
I don't actually vividly remember really how I come across Samuel Leeds in general, but I've always been interested in property. It's never going to go away, so it's always something that's interested me. But I think it was a YouTube video or just an Instagram ad that I come across on Samuel. And then an old friend of mine was just should we just go to the £1 event? Like, is it what it is? And I was like, well, there's only one way to find out. Let's just go up there. So yeah, we did. And never looked back. I loved it.
What was your expectation going in?
It was just going to be a bunch of like guru sort of stuff, like telling me it's too far from myself and then I've got to sign up to this. Like, it's just like a never ending sort of thing. But no, it's just the energy here is just different. Being around like-minded people and the energy that it brings to you is just different. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So then you start your training and then what happens? What was your first deal?
Yeah. So it took a bit of while, like I'm in an R about what I actually wanted to do, like actually getting involved in it. But I wanted to start deal selling because obviously it's the easiest way to get into property. But that sort of like backfired on me, if that's the right word.
Why? What happened?
Well, I sold like 3 deals. I got the money and everything. Investor was happy, but just every time something would go wrong, either the investor wanted this or the landlord weren't happy with this, or obviously where you're being the middleman for deal selling, there was just something going wrong all the time. So then I had this one rent to SA and I wanted to sell it again, but then it just couldn't get it over the line. So I thought, oh, I'm not going to let it go to waste again. I'm going to take it on myself. I met Martin Property, also within Samuel Leeds, who was close to me. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's just take it on. So I found the landlord, viewed it, negotiated it. And never looked back. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
So how do you go through numbers for a rent to rent?
Everyone's a bit controversial about how they do their numbers and stuff. But at the time, I just got given a spreadsheet of where you put all your numbers in, your nightly rate, everything. It just works it all out for you, which was really helpful at the time. But it's more so the research of the occupancy and the area it was in. Apparently, the occupancy was really high. So I thought, I can't find anything more to prove that it's not. So I thought, let's just go with it. But when, obviously, I'm not from a building background or nothing. So when I viewed it, it looked sort of fine to me. But then when Martin come and viewed it afterwards, he was like, wow, we've got a bit too much to what you thought it was going to be. Like, it needs this, it needs this.
What kind of stuff did it need?
Like fully painting, sanding down. There was carpet in the kitchen and the bathroom. So I don't know who did that. But
I've seen that here, right?
I know, it's strange. Yeah. Strange. So I went back to the landlord. I was like, look, we're really interested, but I want to add it was a management company actually, it wasn't a landlord. So I said, look, I want to add some value to your property. And obviously being a management company or a landlord, they're probably like, well, I've never heard that before. I want to add value to your property. So I said, look, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this, but obviously I need some leeway with it. So I said, first of all, I can't pay a deposit on the property, because the whole point of a deposit is to keep the standard of the property it's in, and I'm going to only up the standard of your property. So I don't want to pay a deposit, and I need time to do the work. So it took me about 4 weeks. Yeah, I got about 4 weeks grace period. I think it was 4 or 5 weeks. I can't quite remember now. It's quite a long grace period. But every day they're just painting, sanding down, doing the carpet, taking the carpet out, put flooring down, obviously furnishing it at the same time. Yeah, it was a great experience, because obviously where I'm not from that sort of background, it's picking that sort of stuff up and learning that skill. So it's a good bit of experience as well as.
Wow. Yeah. And so how much did you end up putting into it?
Altogether, it was about 4,400 between me and Martin, and that was including the first month's rent as well.
Okay.
So relatively quite low, to be honest. I mean, I've seen people come across here putting like 10 grand down on a one bed flat. I think that's crazy. I won't do that. So no. Yeah, 4,400 we put into it. It was quite slow to begin with regards to like, but it was getting bookings, just not big bookings and like great price. It was still making money, but it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. So, and obviously where it's a JV partner, you got to split it as well. So,
did you have a JV contract?
No.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
No, it's very risky, but at the time it was like, I didn't even know this guy really, because it was literally a few months I know him, and he was quite a bit older than me. But I think it's about, how long you know the person, how well you get to know them in that time.
Yeah,
I've known people for 10 years and I don't trust them, but I've known him for a few months, and it's not to say I trusted him, but it was like he was in it just as worse as I was, because it was a company bank account. So it's almost like, how am I going to get done over by this? Because I wasn't the guarantor or nothing. So it's just the company. If anything went wrong, I'd just jump out of it. And then he had the bigger picture, because he already owned his own property. He didn't really want to do that anymore, like rent to rent. So he didn't want to start scaling, he wanted to start buying property. So I said, yeah, fair play, of course. Why would you not? But he just didn't really like the area, obviously in Sittingbourne, just in Kent in general. So he got the opportunity to go up to Grimsby and move up north. So I bought him out of the deal.
Is this Martin Adams?
Yeah, Martin Adams. Oh, yeah, you probably know him.
I'm very good friends with Martin Adams.
Yeah, yeah, he's a legend. Love him. Yeah, absolute legend. Yeah. So he moved up Grimsby to do his own thing, and he's smashing it right now. Smashing it up Grimsby.
I was just at an Inner Circle in
Preston.
Yeah,
I saw that.
And he did so well, and he's been on Winners on Wednesday and everything, and he just gives loads of value. So that's great. Okay, so you're definitely hanging out with the right people.
Yeah, I love Martin. And, he did his own thing. I was like, oh, fair enough. Like, what do you want to do about the SA we've got down here? I was like, I'm still happy to manage it. And he was like, no, look, that's your thing now. Like, just buy me out of it. So I give him 1,500 quid. And this was in like the January time, December time. So it was about 7 months after getting the deal, I bought him out of it. But at the time, I was just messing around, not taking it too seriously, like growing. And it took me from my first to my second, like 7-8 months.
Oh.
So it was a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time. But I come across again with the same management company, another one bed flat, 5-10 minutes down the road, but a much nicer spec, really lovely this time. And yeah, didn't pay a deposit again, and then just copy and paste. That's all I say, is just copy and paste.
You know, that really says something when the same company that you worked with in the past gives you another property, right?
Quite literally.
You're actually doing something right.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, I pay my rent on time and look after the property. So that's all that really matters.
And they must love you, right? Because they're like, oh my gosh, where have you been? And then they trust you with the next property.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, not all the properties they have work for me. Mm-hmm. And vice versa with the landlords. They can't always give me the properties that they manage for the landlords, just because it's not the right property for me to be in a company let. But he loves me. I get on well with him. And he's given me quite a few references now. So whenever I speak to a new landlord, I say, I've got references from this management company, like I've got 3 properties with them now, this and that. And it's great.
So why did it take you so long to get your second? Because normally I would think that the first is the hardest one, and then second, third, fourth are kind of around the corner.
Yeah, that was never the problem finding the deals, if I'm honest. It was, but it wasn't. Like, that weren't the biggest problem. I don't know, from my first to my second, I was just messing around, being completely honest. Just doing other things, just being a nuisance, really.
So tell me about the second deal then.
Just another one bed flat, didn't pay a deposit. Much nicer spec.
So you didn't have to refurb it?
No refurbing this time, I wanted to properly furnish it properly this time. So we did do it properly the first time, but I just wanted to go like that bit extra mile. So I just got better beds and And just really much nicer space.
And you know beds, right?
Yeah, quite literally. Yeah, I've got like a £3,000 bed for like £200.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just an ex-display one from Dreams. So shout out to Dreams.
Wow. Okay, so that's a good tip for us newbies, right? When we're trying to find some furniture, you can get like, you mean like demos?
Yeah, yeah, ex-display
floor demos.
One. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I've had really good feedback from that bed from guests.
Great. Because yeah, really that is important, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, what are your reviews like?
Yeah, great. Yeah, obviously I've had a couple of bad reviews, don't get me wrong, but that's just part of the game, right? It's just how you handle it. But yeah, majority, I think my like 50 reviews, I don't, because obviously where I get quite a lot of long-term bookings now, it's hard to get reviews.
Oh, you get long-term bookings?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I sort of like to say I specialize in, because so when the urgency was with that second property, I had someone request to stay at my first property for a month. But I couldn't host them because I already had someone else there. Mm. So quick, let's get another property. So I got this second one and put them in there for a month. And that's just when it sort of started with the second one. There was a property developer, funny enough, who wanted to come stay, just had a divorce, I believe. And he stayed there for 4 months, paying £100 a night, flat rate.
Come on.
Yeah, £3,000 straight a month. So I was like, this works. So I was like, I've got to get more. So
how did you find the second guest to get that second property if your calendar wouldn't allow? Did they reach out to you personally?
So just a few different things you can do. Obviously, yeah, I had a website and I don't really get much traction through that, but like second listings on Airbnb, just a few different ways to people to reach out to you to, even if your calendar's still full, have you got anything else? And that's,
what do you mean by second listing?
You could do like a request only. So you make another Airbnb listing.
Stop
and
it.
And it's like, yeah, people
that's
just
genius.
Request to stay rather
well
than
done,
actually
Ollie.
Booking at their request.
And that's kind of your in to be like, okay, I need to find another one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I had to host this family that were coming to stay for a month. And then after they left, I had a few small bookings, this and that. And then this guy was like, look, I need to stay for a long time. And he was quite well off and he was happy to pay the price.
Yeah.
So it was a flat £100 a night, £3,000 a month.
And it's so much nicer than a hotel room, right? Because
100%.
You've got the kitchen, the
yeah,
living 100%. Room, your
yeah,
own
he
space.
Had his kid to come stay every so often.
Oh, it's perfect.
So yeah, he really enjoyed it because it's much better than a hotel. Better than a hotel.
Great. How many do you have now, your rent-to-rents?
Eight. I just got my last one last week.
How long did it take you to go from zero to eight?
May 2023 was my first one. So yeah, about a year and a half, just over a year and a half.
That's a really fast rate.
You think? I thought it was slow.
What is that? That's like one every 2 months?
On average, yeah. But obviously from my first to my second, it was 7-8 months.
Right.
And then from my second to my third, it was like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And then I just got one the month after that. And then a couple months later. And then I've taken on 3 this year already. So it's this year, I'm trying to get one a month.
Are you doing them all on your own now?
Yeah, I got one. So my third one was a 3-bedroom flat. So it was the largest one I did yet. That again was direct to a landlord, not a management company this time. Mm-hmm. But that required a deposit. I did pay a deposit on that. So that was a little bit more money. It was probably about 5-6K up front I needed. And then he had the downstairs flat that also come available a month later.
Handy.
So, cool. Yeah. And again, I had a direct booking for that for a month, the one upstairs. So I was like, okay, I know it's booked. I want the one downstairs. It's copy and paste now. And I said to my brother, who comes and helps me every so often with setting them up, do you want to invest some money? And I'll give you a monthly rate every month if it obviously gets paid. And he was like, yeah, why not? So he gave me like, I think it was like £3,000-£3,500 to put into this next deal. Yeah, set it up, got it up quite quick. My third booking in, August the 17th, if I remember it, or August the 7th. They were there for August till December the 17th.
Wow.
Yeah. So they were paying, again, top dollar to be there, like £110 a night. And this was a 2-bedroom flat downstairs. So he got his money back within 2 months, 3 months.
He must be so happy.
Yeah, very quick. And then after that, he's getting paid, like £400 to £500 a month. Yeah, I'll give him £450 this month for it. So
how active or passive is running 8 SAs?
Going on the training with Samuel, there's some people that it takes up their whole day, I've heard. Some people it's 2 hours a week. I'd definitely say it's a few hours, and anywhere from nothing to a few hours a day. It's nothing crazy, like depending.
Are you kind of like on call? Do you like, what kind of calls do you
get? Yeah, so I've had like, recently like a washing machine broke. So it's like, all right, okay, cool. Quickly go on AO, get a washing machine for the 2 days later, boom. Just deal with the delivery, boom. That's not really too much. But I've got a lot of people in my area that I do the SAs that are like handymen. So my management company have like handymen. So if anything goes wrong, I can just call them to go out. I don't have to actually do it myself.
Oh, that's good.
So it's good to have the contact with that. I've got a guy, this block deal where I've got two flats in the block. There's like a maintenance guy that comes out if I've got problems. And
What about your cleaning team? Do you have like one team that you send around to all of your properties?
Now I have three different cleaners.
Yeah.
One independent lady. She worked at Dreams, funny enough.
Look at that.
She retired.
Yeah.
She's great. I love her. I wish I could just copy and paste her as well.
I know.
And then I have like a cleaning company so she manages three of them. And the cleaning company manages four of them. And then this last one I've just got in Maidstone, my newest one, is a whole separate cleaning company because it's like an hour way between the two towns.
Great.
So I use Turno. You ever heard of Turno, of the cleaning place? So every time I get a booking, it goes to the Turno, which goes to the cleaners.
Was it like an app?
Yeah, so it's like an app. Yeah. So I just register all my properties through my channel manager, and then every time I get a booking, it goes to the cleaners. I don't even have to message the cleaners anymore.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's great. It's all about like just systemizing it and just being hands off.
Yes.
So that's what I like.
Well, when you get to eight, right?
Yeah.
You do need to systemize.
Yeah, so I had to take a step back and almost like really reevaluate things of actually how can I replace myself again? Because it's now time to start to see the bigger picture. And if I want to replace myself, I can't be working on my business. The whole point of a business is to let it run by itself sort of thing. You're either working in a business or you're working on a business sort of thing. So
it's
about replacing myself.
And so like Richard Branson says that too, right? You hear people like these huge CEOs saying you have to be able to remove yourself.
Yeah.
So learn how to do it and then replace yourself and make sure that you bring in staff that can also develop as well, right?
Yeah, quite literally.
So what are your numbers? Like what kind of turnover? What kind of profit margin are you making on eight
SAs? Yeah, so obviously where I've took on two, we're in March now, so I took on two in February. So that was a lot to take on, as in like money-wise. So I think I spent 19 and a half grand last month.
Oh,
it's
my
most
gosh.
Probably I've ever spent in 1 month, especially on a business. And
But
I turned over like 16K, because I got a bit of money at the end of the month. And so I actually only lost 3.5, but it cost me 5-6K to set two properties up each. So realistically, I made like, I don't know, like 8K or something like that.
Okay, at the end of the day.
So it's a bit tough. Like, so when I went to the ACP, like more further training with Samuel, he said like, what did you make this month? Like in January, I broke even, but I took on a property that cost me 5K.
Right.
So technically I made 5K, if that's the way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, by bank statement, I broke even.
Yeah.
But I spent 5K extra than I would have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting to the point now where I can take on one a month for 5K and still be making 3-4 grand a month, I think.
Okay, so eight properties, you're cash flowing 3-4 grand a month.
And taking one on property on every month. So I should be making, I've worked out, because obviously where I do like long, I don't do it on a nightly rate now, I do it on a monthly rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be making about 8K a month.
Great.
So about a grand a property each month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I try and go for now is instead of a nightly rate, a monthly rate, and to make £1,000 each on each property minimum.
So what kind of percentage are your guests booking long-term versus short-term?
When I first get a property, to begin with, it takes a while for the method to sort of implement itself. So there's quite a few small bookings here and there, and then something big will just come in.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, out of eight, five of them are booked up for at least a month to 6 months.
And how do you get these long-term bookings? They're so great.
I mean, again, I've met people on the train and they're like, how? I've never had a long-term booking. I'm like, I don't see how you can't have a long-term booking.
Mm.
I set, obviously, my minimum night stays. And it's just the way you market yourself, I think, to be honest. It's just reaching out to people, like companies. I deal with like a lot of insurance companies, but a lot of it is people like moving home, like when they're selling their house and they're buying a new one, and there's a stop gap in the middle. And obviously houses can get delayed and delayed and delayed. So that's-
How do you get in front of those people?
I've had quite a few people reach out through Airbnb.
Yeah.
A guy reached out on my website. He's come from Spain and he's visited some parents. He was there since November. And he's looking to stay till end of April, maybe longer, I don't know, So yeah, there's 101 reasons. I've had Ukrainian refugees. I've had a pizza company stay for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's 101 reasons.
So this is a second listing that sort of is by request only. This kind of gives you-
That definitely helps, but it's not where we come from. Yeah, but that definitely is a big-
And then you're reaching out.
Yeah, big stepping stone to it, yeah. So I'm excited to see the one in Maidstone because that's obviously where I'm actually from.
Mm-hmm.
And I helped my friend get a property like to do what I do from A to Z. I showed him the whole process. He dibble dabbled in property before, but nothing like too serious. And he wanted to like join on. And I said, look, yeah, I'll show you A to Z, get you a view here. Like he got the view in sort of thing, but like had to negotiate, had to work your numbers out, your research. Showed him all the, like the furniture wires, got him cleaners, like showed him the whole A to Z process. Implemented the method. His first booking was a 40-night booking. 40-night booking, yeah, for $4,000. So again, like £100 a night, basically.
He must have been so thrilled.
Yeah, so he's basically got his money back already.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like, damn it. Now I've got to go. So I didn't have my one in Maidstone then. Uh-huh. And his one was just in Maidstone. I was like, damn it, I've got to come to Maidstone now just to see what's happened. So I've literally just set my one up last week. I've just got a four-night booking on it. I can't remember now. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see where that's going to go. Because
that's great.
Yeah, looking for the long term.
So how do you pitch rent-to-rent to a landlord or an agent?
Never
say
Airbnb.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, never say it. Obviously you do, but not straight away. Yeah, well, obviously I've reached out and said I'm looking to rent it because a lot of the time when people, when I approach landlords, they think I'm trying to rent it out for them, like an agency. Mm. So I say, I'm looking to rent it from you long-term and just see what they say. And like, okay. And then I just say, I want to rent it in my company name. And then I just straight away go with the benefits that I don't have Section 21 rights. I don't have this, like you can kick me out. I'll pay you rent. Every guaranteed rent every single month. And obviously I've got cleaners coming in. I deal with all maintenance. Obviously when I pitched that to my first management company, I deal with all maintenance. Obviously it was only one so long until I needed their help with the maintenance because I didn't want to pay for it. So I just got the maintenance team to come out. So I pitch it as that, but half of the time they do it as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like a price point of anything over £250. I deal with under that and they deal with anything over that. So I just give them all the benefits to it. But then it's the objections is how you deal with it.
How do you deal with it?
The biggest
What happens if there's damage to my house?
I'll pay for it. I deal with it.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
There's a party and somebody, hammers through a wall.
That's the thing though, like parties and stuff. Never had anything like that. But the worst I have had was the property of me and my brother typically. The third booking in, I said, was the 4-month booking, but that was through an insurance company, which was through the council. They were rehoming the council because their property was damaged, their council home. And that again, they were there for 4 months. They advised me to do checkups, which I was doing. And then it got to a point where there was like stuff on my walls that they like damaged my walls. So I said, look, I'm not going to extend your stay because I had two kids in there as well as they were just ruining the property, like just really being messy. Like I felt more for the kids, to be honest, than my property.
So what do you mean stuff on the walls?
Like food up the walls and...
Food?
Yeah, like I don't even know what it was, but yeah. So I went in there, did a spot check.
Yeah.
And the wall was like, had stuff all up it.
So, but damage or just, spray some stuff and clean up the food?
No, it's definitely more damage. Really? Yeah, definitely more damage. So I said, look, I'm not going to extend your stay until we sort my walls out.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to the insurance company and then the tenant of the guests were like, yeah, okay, cool. They repainted my walls. But then when it started to come towards the end of their stay, they come up with like they was ill, I was away, so I couldn't then go do a check. And then it got to about a week before they was meant to check out. I thought, oh, is there any even point going to check out? I'll just wait till they've checked out. They checked out. I went there with my cleaner because if it's been 4 months, I thought I might as well go there as well because I was in the area. And it was disgusting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, feces all on the bed.
No.
It was horrible. Like food all on the floors, the ceilings, like just mess everywhere. So I obviously had to get a new bed in, get a few bits and bobs, probably spent £400 or £500. But luckily the insurance company was like, look, we're so sorry, this. But they said, look, you have been fully occupied, we've been paying you good money for 4 months. The way we see it is if you're out for a week, you're still winning. I said, well, that's not the point. I've got to take time out of my day to now refurnish the property and it's going to be offline for a week. But luckily I spoke to the guest. I was going to make a claim from the insurance company, but I spoke to the guest as well, because obviously I had her contact details as well. So I was like, look what you've done to my property. Like just really like went into her sort of thing. And the fella, the nan got involved and she was like, look, it's coming up to Christmas. We ain't really got a lot of money, but I've got £800 cash here for you. Is that going to cover it? And I was like, yeah, of course it is. But I thought that was like bluffing. So I was like, come hit me for it. And they did. Her and the nan turned up and give me £800 cash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it cost
Man
me
to
like...
to the rescue.
Yeah, literally. But obviously, I probably broke even on it, but it cost me like £450, I think it was, to get back up and running with a new bed, like new bedding, whatever. And bought a couple of Christmas presents with it as well. So
there you go. Yeah. And you're right. That's a really good point. It also, it's not only the time and the extra cost, but it's the offline cost.
Yeah,
the 100%. Loss of opportunity.
Yeah. Right? But I felt more for the children, to be honest with you.
Oh, my gosh. How old were the children?
Probably like 4 and 6, maybe. I don't actually know, but if that's the way they're living, I went home to a nice clean bed sort of in my home. And I thought, oh, like, this is how I'm living. God knows where they've gone to. Yeah. I really felt for the kids. I was more concerned about ringing child social services, to be honest with you.
Wow. Yeah. So you overcame that, though. And you haven't had really, that's kind of it, right?
Yeah, that's my worst experience. But even then, it wasn't nothing major.
When you first joined the academy, what did your family think? Your friends, your family, your parents?
I didn't tell no one, to be honest with you.
You didn't tell anyone you joined the academy?
No, obviously they knew I was going. Obviously, I only live with my mum. So I said, oh, I was going to like property training, just dibble dabbling with this, like just learning this and that. But I didn't really say too much about it, to be honest, because I had no need to, because I didn't really know where my direction was of going.
Was your mum like familiar with property and investment?
No, she's just a corporate lady. She's just spent 20 years building up the chain of a job. Mm. And I know that's not the route I wanted to go down. So yeah. I didn't really want to bother her too much with, oh, I'm doing this, I've spent this, I've done that. And she didn't really quite understand it anyway. So when I've got my first property, she was like, what do you mean you're going to rent it out like for this? And then obviously she got her head around it. She come and viewed it when I fully got it set up and took the photos. She said, oh, it looks really nice, you've done this. And then I was just showing her like the bookings and stuff. When I got my brother involved, I think she really was like, oh, wow, like you're doing something now sort of thing. It's really taken off. And obviously her seeing that I'm paying my brother £500 a month for doing nothing, she's almost like, oh, okay, like, yeah, it's actually working sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't tell her. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell no friends, no family. The only person that knew was I was actually friends with was Martin.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he was on it as well. So
that's the thing, right? When you're around the environment, you can kind of talk the talk. And,
yeah, literally.
And people get it. Yeah. And they're there and they're supporting you.
Yeah, no, quite literally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, everybody's going to know now, right?
Yeah, literally. Everyone, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm coming on here to share my story. Everyone's going to know now. But
yeah,
it was well worth it. I don't have no regrets towards it. It was great.
So as you scale your business, at what point do you stop? Like, are you just going to keep taking on one after another?
Yeah, well, there's a guy in my area that's got like 100 units of what I do sort of thing.
100, wow.
Yeah, 100. He's making mega money off this sort of thing. So I want to get to the point where it's like similar sort of thing, but also replacing myself and doing other projects. So I want to get to obviously taking on one a month, as I said. I've done two last month, so I've got to take a step back and reevaluate. But yeah, one a month, but I want to start going to like mansions and like cottages, like really unique properties, yes, instead of just flats and houses.
Yeah.
I want to go to really like unique ones and then start raising finance to buy properties.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the end vision.
Yeah, build your assets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, literally actually start. Because obviously with as much as I love this business, there's a time limit on it. That's what I don't like to get my head around that.
What all do you mean a time limit?
All my properties have a time limit. What if the landlord decides to sell? What if they don't want to rent to me anymore? This and that. Obviously, I can keep building on top of it.
Yeah.
But these properties aren't mine. So I have a time limit. So it's, yeah, now starting to look to raise finance, lease option agreements on hotels. So that's what Sammy was telling me. He was like, go get hotels.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, where I thought I was going is the complete opposite to where I need to be going. So,
You've been to one of Samuel's hotels, Willingham House.
Yes, that really changed. Yes, that really changed my perspective of actually,
I know, when
like,
you
wow,
see it,
I can do this
like,
as well. I know, yeah. So that's what I'm going to start reaching out to start doing is looking at getting like guest beds from anywhere from like 5 to 20 rooms. Nothing crazy amount. But reaching out to them sort of people to start buying them sort of places. So
that's great.
It's going to be a good year.
Awesome. So what kind of advice would you give yourself from day one? If you can like go back a couple of years ago, what would you say to yourself?
Don't doubt yourself and just be consistent. That was my biggest problem. If I didn't take weight from my first to my second for seven, eight months, I could be on 15 by now. Mm. If I was doing what I'm doing now, 2 years ago, I could be on a lot more by now.
So how do you overcome consistent. Doubting yourself?
To be fair, I never really doubted myself. It was just like, pull your finger out sort of thing. Okay. Work harder. No matter what you think you're doing, you can always do more. So just double down on what you're doing. Just believe in yourself. That's the sort of thing.
That's it.
And just take action. That's all I can say. Just take action.
I remember one of the first, weekly Zooms that I was in a few years ago with Samuel. And I remember him saying, if you don't believe in yourself, it's okay, because I believe in you. And I thought, oh, wow. Okay. Then you kind of have to start believing in yourself.
Yeah,
like he does,
literally.
Right?
But I mean, at the same point, like, I think if you don't believe in yourself, then what have you got? If you don't have self-faith, then what do you have? It's all well and good Samuel believing in you, but the minute Samuel's not there, then what?
So, the beginning is tough, isn't it?
Yeah, the beginning is tough. Yeah. So my direction was a bit all over the place, but when I knew where I really wanted to go, it's just stay focused.
Yeah. And so how can people reach out to you?
Well, I've got my website, M3 Property Services, or
what is
Instagram.
It again?
M3 Property SA it is.
M3 Property SA, that's your website?
Yeah, M3 Property. Yeah, and my Instagram is also the same thing.
M3.
M3 Property SA. But I'm going to start converting it to myself to actually start posting myself. Yeah, right? Ollie Whitehead rather there than M3, because everyone's like, who's M3?
I know.
I don't know either, so.
But we know who Ollie Whitehead is
exactly
now, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to start, posting more on my personal rather than
That's great.
Yeah, that page.
Well, you hear you should get a selfie with Samuel and the mentors, Tony Crook.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team, right?
Yeah, literally, yeah. I've got a couple of photos, me and Samuel, like from a while back that I need to get out there. But social media isn't my forte. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to start posting a lot more, getting the content out there.
So what kind of advice would you give somebody who wants to start off and kind of like follow your footsteps?
Take action. Just take action. Reach out to landlords, research, YouTube, get yourself down to the crash course. Yeah, that's where it all starts.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, literally it is.
Yeah.
So you either come there and it's not really a bit of you. You don't really want to do it. Like you want to do something else. It's absolutely fine. But if you do want to get involved with the property, crash course and sign yourself up. Yeah, it's amazing. The energy is just different. So
it's so crazy, the crash course, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
And you just watch people do things. Like Samuel will call up agents. He will sell deals right in front of you.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all live in the flesh. So it's a good bit.
Okay, great. Well, if you're interested in learning more about property, come to a crash course,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
You can meet Ollie. You're in Kent?
Kent Maidstone. Yeah,
Kent Maidstone.
Yeah. So that's what everyone knew me for on the academy is, mate, I used to shout out Maidstone all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's, my patch, Maidstone.
There you go. So yeah, come down to a one-time crash course. Information will be in the description along with Ollie's information. We're going to see him rebrand himself as himself now, right? Mm-hmm. Ollie Whitehead.
Will, yeah.
And well, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
I really appreciate it. You were awesome. High five.
Thank you very much. Last one.
Good stuff.